Wouldn't be a show if we didn't thank our very special friends. How about Sapori Cafe and Catering, located inside the Powers Building atrium, one of the best places for lunch in Rochester, or you could have them cater your special event. You could also check out great live music and great beers at Three Heads Brewing. Visit them at their brewery on Atlantic Avenue and check out threeheadsbrewing.com. Also, thanks to our friends at Iron Smoke Whiskey, available in two delicious varieties, Apple Smoked Whiskey and Rattlesnake Rosie's Apple Pie Whiskey.
Everybody, welcome back to an all-new comedy at the Carlson Cast. That's CarlsonCast.com, of course, with your host, with the most ass. It's Vinny Paulino, everybody. Look at
I see what you did.
Lucky day, Brian Ball's not here. We got Todd Youngman instead.
Thank God.
Celebrate.
Thank God.
It's me, Ross Johnson, throwing papers around. You can see me doing news and things like that. Slinking out of view. And, of course, everybody, it's our favorite, Cam Tiller. This episode, number 78, it's Dusty Slay.
You know, Ross.
Yeah, I'm working through a few things.
You got one real. I can tell. Yeah. You got one really like kind of mean stinger in there on me, but the rest of it was just like, oh, look at everybody else; they're nice.
Yeah, I sort of. I'm not great with follow through, so you know.
I'm disappointed.
I'll do some little roasts this time, but I only did one, and then I just gave up.
So. You did bring up a couple of good things that we need to bring up. First off, Dusty Slay is going to be here, guys. We're excited about Dusty Slay. Amazing comic. He's been touring all over the country, out of Nashville, originally by care of Alabama. He's done Jimmy Kimmel. He's done, did he do Fallon?
He did Fallon.
He's doing all sorts of great stuff, and he's a hot act right now, and he's right here in Rochester, and we're going to talk to him. Now, Brian Ball is also not here, so we love you, Brian. Nah, fuck you. We have Todd Youngman sitting in his place today, so we're happy to have him.
I'm in the chair.
You are in a chair.
I did it.
Now, I have a question for you.
Sure.
Do you feel like you're decomposing faster when you sit in that chair?
I do. I feel like my soul is slowly leaving my body.
That's the Brian chair.
Is that
chair.
What it should be?
That's the Brian chair.
Yep.
You know, he's only 22.
No shit.
True story. It's the chair. So, Todd is joining us today because we are doing something very, very special soon. We have a show coming up here at Comedy at the Carlson in the... in the main room. It's a main room. It's a Wednesday night, April 24th.
Yeah, it's going to be fun.
Hit my computer for me, would you, Cam?
All right.
We'll show this here. One night only. I'm plugged in. Why isn't that showing it? All right. Never mind. Either way, April 24th, we're doing a show for the folks at the Alzheimer's Association. And what we are doing is it's going to be Todd, Dan Viola, and myself. Mm-hmm. And we're each going to be performing. Tickets are $20. And all of the money goes to support the Longest Day campaign for the Alzheimer's Association.
Yeah, it's a great cause. I had the pleasure of doing it last year.
Well, they asked for you back, man.
Oh, that's I love that's great to hear.
Yeah,
I love it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so I did it last year, and I think I did it with Joel Lindley. And
didn't ask him back. We're started off the show with Inside Baseball.
Yeah, right. But it was a great event last year. I think they raised a lot of money. And it was just nice because it was, you know, my mom suffered from dementia the last 6 years of her life. So it's, you know, it's always nice to be able to be a part of something when, you know.
I'm with you, man. I feel like anything I could do ever, if you have a charity and you're trying to raise money and you need
Same.
A comic,
yeah.
Call Brian Ball. He'll help you out.
He's got most of the diseases. So.
He does. Yeah, he's more than willing to help out.
That's called a double-edged sword, ladies and gentlemen.
You have to feed him. But I really want to say thank you to you for volunteering your time to do that with us.
My pleasure. I'm glad. I was so happy to be asked.
Yeah, I got to tell you, though, I was too. I was kind of surprised. Alzheimer's is a bitch, and you know better than anybody. So anything we could do to stand up to Alzheimer's, we're going to do it.
Oh, yeah, and we're going to do it. Me, you, and Danny.
Me, you, and little Viola.
I'll be there.
Yep. Cameron's going to be there.
Are you coming, Cam?
Yeah, I lost both my parents to Alzheimer's, so.
You know, buddy, maybe we could figure out something you could do with the show, man. That would be cool.
Yeah,
maybe
for
we
sure.
Could figure something out.
Anything I could do to help, I'm completely
down. It could be a mic stand.
How are you at holding a microphone while people talk into it?
You've seen me not very good, but I'll try my damnedest.
Okay. All right. Ticket taker. These
are bare minimum skills, Cam.
I'm a bare minimum type of guy.
Okay.
That's true story.
That's why we like you.
You've seen this show, folks. You know what I mean. You know it to be true. Yeah. So, other things going on at the club this weekend. New comic night, baby. Saturday night. We're excited about that. If you have thought about telling jokes, you think you're funny, and you want to give it a shot, or if you just want to get on stage here at Comedy at the Carlson, you already have jokes prepared, come Saturday night. Be here at 8 o'clock. Or, I'm sorry, be here at 7 o'clock to sign up. We're going to do a drawing at 7:30 for 20 performance spots. Everybody's going to get 4 to 5 minutes, and we are going to do this for 20 lucky people. But you have to be here at 7, and you have to be here for the drawing at 7:30.
It fills up fast.
Holy cow, it fills up fast.
Your past two shows have been great.
Do you want to know something that I love about it? It's a free ticket.
Yeah.
I love that it's a free ticket. It's like the only free show that we do here at the club. And it's been packed every time. And I'm hoping that third time, you know, we keep it up. So if you just want to come and watch really good young talent, New Comic Night's for you, and it's free.
Yeah, it's a great show. You've done a great job with that. That's really one of the better ones.
Well, thank you, Todd. I really appreciate that, man. Also, let's talk about some other things that are going on. Do you have... Well, I have it right here, but now we can't see it because for some reason my computer screen isn't working. Tonight, ladies and gentlemen... In the Rochester Roast Battles Round 2, we are doing the very special roast of Deanna King. Now, Deanna has been sick with the flu all week, so we're here's hoping she actually makes it in.
Yeah, let's hope she does. I mean, she's been texting me all week, you know, updates. I'm going to, you know, if I can't make it, will you come pick me up? And we'll see. We'll see if she gets there.
You should...
She'll be there. She's
a trooper.
She's a trooper.
So all of our comics are going to rip on Deanna, which I feel bad about. Yeah. Well, no, I don't feel bad about it. She's a nice lady, but she's got thick skin, and she
can
dish it.
Sure, she does. Well, she has to. Yeah, she can wheeze.
Yeah, she can dish it out. Yeah. So it's going to be fun. Our contestants tonight, our matchups are Sam Labuti versus Brian McBride. That's going to be a death match. Speaking of death matches, Ilhan Ali versus Jesse Winterhalter.
Oh.
That is going to be something else.
You got matchups.
I have some serious matches
really
tonight.
Do. I was looking at that board last night.
I have some very funny, very mean people that don't like each other much going up against each other.
It's going to be interesting.
And it's all random, man. This is all how this just shaped up. So I'm excited for it. Shannon Young versus Todd Gerslin from Hate This Podcast. Luke Thiers versus Andrea Springer, who, you know, I have no skin in this game. Someone's going to win $500 and it ain't going to be me.
Yeah.
But if I had to put some early money down... Might be Andrea Springer's to lose.
Really?
Yeah, she's got stuff going on, at least from the first round.
This might be Andrea Springer's show to lose. Ask Shoeless Joe. He's back there with Cam.
Oh.
She whooped his little butt. Is he back there with you?
He is.
Show him on camera. Show him looking sad. Show what Andrea did to you to everybody, Joe. Yeah.
Oh.
He doesn't have shoes, everybody.
It's okay, Joe.
She took my shoes.
She took his shoes, folks. She took his shoes. But it's going to be a good time, so we hope that you can make it out for that. Tickets are $10 cash at the door, and you will see the roast of Deanna King. You will also see 6 unbelievably brutal roast battles right in front of your very eyes. That'll be decided by you, the audience.
And it's free.
No, it isn't.
Oh.
That's New Comic Night.
Don't tell people that.
Don't tell people.
Yeah, don't tell people it's free. It's $10 cash at the door. I just said it.
All right, $10.
I was told that this was free.
If it's free, somebody will show up and take their clothes off on stage.
I didn't think I'd be missing Brian this quick.
Yeah.
Oh, Todd.
I'm sorry. I'm not decomposing yet.
That's true.
I think it's the chair.
All of his faculties are still with us, but we won't let that stop us because Dusty Slay is coming up next. The text line is open, 585-484-0265. Any questions you have for him, text him in. And today we will be giving out tickets to either the early show tonight or the late show tonight. So if you want to win some tickets, text in. We'll tell you how at the beginning of the interview. Hit the upcoming promo, and we'll be right back with Dusty Slay. Hey, everybody. Thanks for watching the Comedy of the Carlson cast. But you might want to check out the comedy schedule at Comedy at the Carlson. Big shows coming up. This weekend, as you already know, we have Dusty Slay. Next week, returning is Preacher Lawson. Tammy Pescatelli will be here April 11th through the 13th. Samuel J. Comer will be here April 18th through the 20th. Dov Davidoff, April 25th through the 27th. And let's not forget Steven Rogers and Caden Palufo, April 26th in the Rickles Room. Fred Rubino's going to be here May 2nd and 3rd. Robert Kelly will be here May 10th and 11th. Will Jimmy Norton will be here May 17th through the 18th. Mark Skippy Price from Family Ties will be here May 23rd through the 25th. Samantha Ruddy, Upstate New York Zone, May 24th through the 25th in the Rickles. Mark Norman will be here May 30th through June 1st. Dan Soder will be here June 6th through the 8th. Jim Florentine will be here June 13th through the 15th. Jamie Lissau will be here June 20th through the 22nd. Nicole Byer will be here July 11th through July 13th. And my good friend, hypnotist Chris Jones, will be here one night only, July 27th. That's what's coming up at Comedy at the Carlson. So I think you should get some tickets, and I think you should come see a show.
We are back, ladies and gentlemen. We are back.
Yes, there I am. We are joined in studio today by our guest, Mr. Dusty Slay. How you doing, Dusty?
All right. I'm doing great. I'm having a good time.
Awesome. Folks, you can see Dusty performing all weekend here. Four more shows at Comedy at the Carlson. 7 p.m. tonight and tomorrow, and 9 p.m. tonight and tomorrow as well. Dusty, I'm excited to have you in here. I've been waiting for to get you in here all week because I feel like of all the comics that have come through this studio, you and I have a lot in common that I don't necessarily think I have in common with a lot of people.
Oh, this will be good. I can't
wait. Yeah, well, I'm excited.
Well, I didn't necessarily have... you have an interesting background. First off, you're from Alabama.
I am from Alabama. Grew up in a town
Opelika?
Opelika, yeah.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, Opelika. It's a native word that means great swamp. And there's no swamps where I live. They were just like, we don't like it here.
Nice title.
Yeah.
Everywhere in Alabama never is always slightly misadvertised because things they advertise as a town or a village is really just like a herd of sheep and a couple of fences. It's never as advertised. Well,
not
Alabama.
A lot of cities in Alabama. You know, Birmingham, Huntsville, Mobile. That's about it. Montgomery. Right.
I spend a lot of time down in Alabama. My wife is from there.
Oh, that's
okay.
Right.
Where?
Her parents live in Albertville.
Oh, okay.
I don't say Ville because it's not a Ville. It's more of a Vole. Like an Albertville.
Albertville. Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. My dad. The town he lives in is spelled Penton, P-E-N-T-O-N, but they say Pennon.
Sounds perfect.
Pennon.
Sounds about right.
Just drops off lazy.
Yeah.
Now, yeah, nice.
You also grew up in a trailer park.
I did, yeah.
In Alabama.
Yeah.
Which paints a picture in people's minds immediately before they know anything about you.
Yeah, I think a lot of people think I grew up in an RV, you know, and I'm like, no, it wasn't that nice. You know?
It wasn't that nice.
Yeah, we couldn't move it that quick.
Yeah.
You know, you need a truck.
Yeah. You could turn an RV on and go somewhere.
Yeah, trailer, you know, I talk about tornadoes with a trailer, but it's not the biggest fear. Like, any storm is scary in a trailer.
Right.
We had an ice storm one time that froze a tree limb. And it fell. It broke off the tree. Fell and stabbed right through the roof of the trailer.
You're kidding me.
And it hit this shelf my mom had of this ceramic owls. And
not the owl shelf.
Yeah.
The trinkets.
It broke a lot of the ceramic owls.
Yeah.
And
thank God they weren't Hummels.
I know.
Oh no, not the Hummels.
Yeah.
The precious moments.
What a Hummel? Hummels? I don't.
Oh, I'll show you a photo.
Okay. Yeah. All right. But we had a lot of ceramic stuff. We all had our. My sister. We all had our own ceramic thing that we collected. My mom had bells. My sister was the owls. My other sister was rabbits, I think, and I had dogs.
You had dogs. Good.
We all had a ceramic thing.
Is that a Southern thing? Because my wife's family does something very similar, where at Christmas time, like, her grandmother collects snowmen.
Oh,
her
mother
collects Santa Clauses. My wife collects reindeer.
Like,
it's a weird thing where everybody has their thing that they must purchase stuff of.
Yeah, I don't know how poor your wife's family is, but I think sometimes the collectible thing is like, it's like having a thing, right?
Where interesting.
You know, like if you can't, like my mom collects Santa Clauses too.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's like, I was watching an old home video. She had this whole shelf of Santa Clauses, and then she zoomed in on this picture of Toby Keith in like a turtleneck.
Nice.
So there's like all the Santa Clauses and then a framed Toby Keith right up in there.
It was a photo?
Yeah.
Nice.
It's 5 o'clock at the North Pole.
Yeah. She's big into she was big into Toby Keith way back. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, Toby's a good looking dude. So you grew up with your mom and your sisters in a trailer. You had a single mom, and I know that's a lot of your act. You talk about that a lot. And I mean, it seems like a very interesting dynamic.
Yeah, I have two older sisters that are like 10 years older than me, and they have a different dad than me. So we're half brother and sister, and then they both have husbands. They dated those guys when they were very young. So those husbands are like my brothers now, you know.
Okay.
But and they have kids now. My one brother-in-law, he had two kids before he married my sister, and then one of those kids is not really his kid. It was his first wife's kid.
Okay.
All right.
So it's like very confusing. And then I have a younger sister.
Are you saying the genealogy waters are a bit muddled down
yes,
in Alabama?
Yes. Like family. Yes. Yeah, totally. And yeah, it's like he has a son that we found out later, like, wasn't his son.
Really?
But he was just kind of like, he knew. I guess we found out later.
Yeah, right.
But it was just like, so it's fine. But it's like, there's just. Some of the family tree stuff doesn't even connect.
No.
Right.
Right.
He's just hanging out. He's like a leaf that fell off.
Dead branches.
Right. Yeah. And then I have a younger sister. We have the same dad, different mom, and she's 18 years younger than me.
My gosh.
And not related to my older sisters.
Yeah.
That's a lot of people you have to buy for at the holidays.
Oh, I don't buy any presents.
Good for you.
Yeah, I gave that up long ago.
Good right. for you.
I'm like, don't buy me anything. I'm not going to. Because I see people at Christmas time, they're like, oh, got to get all my shopping done. And I'm like, you know, we could just not buy each other stuff.
That'd be great.
Not stress each other
we
out.
We could all just celebrate the baby Jesus in our own way.
Right. Yeah. And not have to force. Yeah. Like, we're going broke buying presents.
Right.
People are taking on second. My mom told me she took on a second job to buy me a PlayStation, you know? I just found this out. I was like, oh, it makes me sad.
Makes you feel guilty.
But I was I enjoyed the PlayStation.
Yeah, well, then you shouldn't feel bad about it.
Yeah. My dad bought me a Sega the same year that the PlayStation came out. I told him I wanted a PlayStation. He bought me a Sega.
Yeah.
So my mom took the Sega back to Walmart and traded it in for two games.
Wow.
You know?
Yeah.
So
your mom sounds like a pretty cool lady.
Yeah, she was worried. She was hustling it.
Was your dad in the trailer park too?
No, he lives on a farm.
Oh, nice.
So I spent spent half my life on a farm. Yeah,
and then the other half of the trailer park.
Yes, yeah. I really soaked it up.
Sure did.
Yeah.
There is a very strange in all the time that I spent down in Alabama. There is a very strange disparity between the people who live in the trailer parks and then the people who have money in Alabama have money in Alabama
oh,
and they
time.
Flaunt it.
That old money.
Old money.
Yeah.
Like the houses, some of the houses down there, you would not believe. And then you'll see trailer parks. And it feels like there's always like a weird class struggle going on in Alabama. Is that accurate or am I just crazy?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, in my school, it was like, it felt like it was the rich kids and the poor kids. Like there wasn't a lot of in between. Or at least I perceived everyone was rich. Anyone that had bricks, I thought was rich. You know what I mean? Like we lived in a trailer and we had 10 underneath. The only bricks we had was the steps leading up to the door.
I would say the ones that the things held up on.
Yes. But I felt like I always kind of hung out with the rich kids, right?
Right.
I hung out with the because I lived in the country. We were on the line, the city line. So you could go to the country school or you could go to the city school. All the kids in the trailer park went to the country school except for me. I went to the city school. So I had like all these rich friends.
Interesting.
And I... It never bothered me until I got older.
Did it bother the other kids at the trailer park? Did they like, what are you going to that school for?
Was I don't think so. I don't know that we even talked about it, you know?
Yeah. Interesting.
We just were in the trailer park. You know, we had woods. We were on a dirt road. You know, we were just doing that kind of stuff.
Yeah. I spent like a summer with my grandmother living in a trailer when I was a kid.
Oh, yeah.
It's a blast.
It is fun.
It's a blast. When you're a kid, I think it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, there's a lot of kids around whose parents don't care what they're doing, so you're just out doing whatever. We
just
would be gone
all
day.
Chucking rocks at cars, whatever you're going to do.
Exactly. The other trailer park kids were much worse than me. I was a nice kid.
Oh, you're a good kid.
Well, you went to the city school.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. They were throwing rocks at cars and breaking windows and...
Yeah.
And then, you know, I continued to hang out with kids like that my whole life. Like, my friends would go to jail when they weren't hanging out with me. I feel like I kept people out of jail.
Sure.
Just I had a little common sense.
Yeah.
They were like, let's break into this house and steal stuff. I'm like, nah, let's just go hang out, you know, play some video games.
I got a PlayStation.
Right. Exactly.
I got a PlayStation.
Exactly.
My mom worked hard for this. Let's all enjoy it.
And then I would find out they were in jail on the weekend that I was at my dad's. You know, they got arrested. And I'm like, what do you guys do? You know,
what were some of the crimes? What were they doing?
I don't know. I had one friend that used to go to jail all the time, and I still have no idea why he was going to jail. I think what happened was he got in trouble for one thing, and then he would be on probation, and he kept failing drug tests.
Yeah, that'll do it.
I think that's what was happening
to
him.
Yeah,
because it would just be like, oh, John's in jail again, and it's like, and no one ever really knew why. His mom was so nice; we had no idea.
Yeah.
He may be in jail right now.
Interesting. Yeah. So, like, you're down there. You're you're a young kid, you're out running around, you're having a good time. Where do you even like see stand-up comedy? Like, how does where does it pop into the picture for
you?
Oh,
I had no idea about stand-up comedy, really. I mean, I used to watch Comic View on BET.
Sure.
Because that was, I didn't, and then I would watch some Comedy Central Presents. Right. And then when I was in middle school, Jeff Foxworthy, You Might Be a Redneck, came out, and it was the huge greatest thing in the world. Like, he was using like the stuff like Yontu,
Used to could.
Yeah.
Sensuous.
He
and
spoke to you.
And I was like, wow, we're doing, like, even right down to, he had this thing where he's like, when dogs get in the yard, we run out on the porch and go, get on out of here, right? And it's like, we were like, wow, that's exactly what we say. And it blew my mind. Yeah. And, cause like, even, I mean, just that exact phrase, and used to could, like, that blows my mind too. Right. Well, I used to could.
So you heard your own voice coming from somebody else.
Yeah, and it's the first time I had ever heard anything like that. Because we had, like, Jerry Clower. But Jerry Clower was Mississippi. He's right. Too southern for us.
Yeah.
He's, right. Like, almost too good for us. You
I'm
going
to pull up a picture of Jerry Clower
yeah, you should.
For you
they,
folks.
That yeah. Should be on there. Definitely.
Yeah, Jerry Clower's almost like that old money type comedian, you know? He wasn't Trailer Park Guy.
Right. So this guy, Jeff Foxworthy spoke to you, and then... When was it that you said, I'm going to dip my foot in this water?
Well, you know, it wasn't, I don't think
you
I ever.
You put my screen up and show folks some Jerry Clower.
Yeah, let's see it.
There
yeah.
He is.
Oh, yeah.
That's a real Southern.
Yeah. He's always on Hee Haw.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't, yeah, like my Captain dad Kangaroo says there. That he remembers Jerry Clower. Jerry Clower used to be a fertilizer salesman.
No, really?
Yeah, he sold a lot of shit to people.
Yeah, he used to come to my dad's town. And he said that he would be in there telling stories, and people would just come in from off the street in to listen to Jerry Clower's stories.
Sure, yeah. Nice storyteller.
Know? Yeah.
That was the kind of, like, Andy Griffith was a storyteller.
Oh, yeah.
Too. Yeah, he spoke to your people.
Yeah, Andy Griffith has a great thing about, like, what it was football.
Yeah.
That's what it, and it's, right. That's really funny.
It is funny.
Yeah. And, but the rest of his stuff is like songs, which right. I'm not into. No, I'm not into either. Comedy songs, really. No,
me either.
But,
I haven't written any, so
yeah.
I'm
okay,
not
good. The way you made that face there, I thought that you were like. Big
I was just
into
trying to think: is there
songs?
Any that I like or enjoy, and nothing's popping into my mind?
I mean, there like you
I'm
know,
sure there's some.
Adam
out there.
Sandler, like the Hanukkah song, was
sure.
Great.
Classics,
yes. Lunch Lady Land,
right?
But I'm not that into comedy.
You know
songs.
What? Quick sidebar: you know who I give a lot of credit for in the comedy music world? Obviously, everybody does because he's like should be on the Mount Rushmore of it. Is Weird Al because Weird Al wanted to be a musician. But he was never, you know, that good of a musician.
Right.
But he was a really funny guy, and he wanted to do comedy stuff, but he didn't do comedy. He stuck with what he wanted to do, and he didn't try to, like, mix them. He did, right. But he wasn't doing, like, stand-up and stuff. So
yeah.
Good on you, Weird Al.
Yeah.
Stay
yeah,
in your lane.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's
yeah.
The lesson.
Yeah. It really worked out for him.
It did.
Yeah.
I think he landed on his feet.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going to happen to him after this Leaving Neverland documentary, and nobody's ever going to listen to a Michael Jackson song
yeah,
right. Again.
Oh, yeah.
Might hurt his back catalog That's, a little.
Yeah.
But, you know... What are you going to do there?
But I never thought about doing comedy. Like, no. I was like, I graduated high school, which I was the first of my siblings to graduate high school. My sister's got GEDs. And but they're doing fine. And I went to community college. I signed up for two classes, and I went to each class one time. And then I was like, all right, this is not for me.
Yeah.
That's all it took, huh?
Yeah, I was like, I don't like this. I was like, I just got out of this. I just did 12 years of this.
And now I got to pay you for this?
Yeah, I was like, I'm out of here. And then I joined the Army.
Right.
But I got arrested before I got shipped off. So I didn't. And then so I at 14, I moved out of a trailer. And then at 18, I joined the Army and then got arrested before I went in. And so I bought my old trailer that I grew up in for $1,000. And I lived in there.
Was that branch still hanging through the ceiling?
No, no. Well, you know what? We got the branch out, but we never could get the leak fixed.
Couldn't
no,
fix those right, goddamn
yeah.
Owls.
Yeah. No. The leak, it always leaked. Yeah. It always had a little drip. I went up there and I put a bunch of tar on it. I have no idea what I'm doing, but I put a bunch of tar. Never fixed it.
Never.
Never fit. Ruined my favorite jeans, but didn't fix the hole. And so... So I lived in this trailer, and then I went to court for getting arrested for alcohol and weed, and I lost my license for 9 months. So I'm like a year out of high school, and I'm living in a trailer, no driver's license, on probation.
But you do own it, so yes. You got that over yes. Everybody.
I failed to get into the Army, and I dropped out of college, and I'm working at Papa John's. I'm struggling. You know what I mean? I'm like, this is not going to work out for me. And then once I got off probation, I moved to Charleston, South Carolina.
Right.
And I just wanted to get out of my hometown. I just wanted to do something. Charleston is amazing. I loved it.
It's a great city, yeah.
Beautiful town.
Yeah, I started doing improv. And then from improv, I got into stand-up. And then I quit stand-up because I was drinking a lot. And so I lived on the beach.
Sure.
So I did that for several years. Really partied.
Right. Just lived right on the beach.
Yeah. And it was great. I had a great suntan. Actually, my forehead was real scabbed up because I kept getting real drunk out on the beach and never wore sunscreen.
Just pass out.
I was messed up.
Yeah.
I never had it together. And then I quit drinking at 30. And then that's where my whole life got better.
Interesting.
I was like, oh, I could think clearly. I wasn't a mess. I'm a little boring now, but
how long you been sober?
Like 7 years.
Yeah, good for you.
Yeah,
congratulations. That's great.
Yeah,
congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So you start doing improv and you get into it and you're thinking to yourself, I really like this enough that I want to try stand up, or you were like, yeah, the improv's all right, but I like stand up better. What was going on in your head?
Well, my friend came to me and he said, I think you should do some stand up, and I think you should do that country character that you do. And I was like, well, that's not really a character.
You met me. That's me.
Yeah. Right. And but we wrote some jokes. So I have it on videotape. This is 2004. I just wore overalls and no shoes.
Like Hillbilly Jim from the WWF back in the day?
Because Larry the Cable Guy was real popular then, so I was trying to ride those coattails.
Sure.
And I was really countrying it up. I really added in some twang. And I was doing all right. I did it for about a year. But I would do comedy like every 3 months. There was no scene. And then I quit. And I started bombing. And I was like, I don't like this. So I quit.
So you went full character, just like a full character in stand-up.
Yeah. And then I started really embarrassing myself with it. Like I did a Christmas party where I worked and I did the overalls and then I bombed real bad. And I was like, I escaped out of the back door and climbed a fence. You know what I mean?
I've never had to climb anything to escape a mob anymore.
Yeah. I was like, I did not want to see all the people that I worked with.
That's got to be some fail. Where you're just like, look at the fence. You're like, I got to get over that.
Yeah. I went out the back door, and then I was like, it was a pretty tall fence, but I was like, I can't go back out there.
The opener was just like, there's a gate, Dusty.
Yeah.
There's a gate.
Yeah.
Get me out of here.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not my first fence that I've climbed. So I just quit comedy. I was like, I don't want to do this. And then I sold pesticides for a long time. I was a pesticide salesman. And,
interesting. So when you sell pesticides,
that's great.
You're just talking to farmers and stuff.
Well,
like, right?
I sold to Lowe's and Home Depot. I was a sales rep for a pesticide company. I thought I was pretty good at it, but.
Well, that other guy sold fertilizers.
Yeah, following Jerry Clower's footsteps.
And look at him, yeah.
Yeah. People weren't gathered around to listen to my stories, though, you know?
No.
Actually, when people at the
Lowe's... What you need to do is get yourself a Captain Kangaroo suit.
Yes.
And they would have.
I need big collars.
Yes.
Yeah, people actually were surprised at Lowe's and Home Depot when they found out I did comedy. They're like, well, you're never funny here. And I'm like, well, yeah, I hate this job,
right.
You know? There's nothing funny here.
No. Do you want to kill the bugs or not?
Yeah.
Buy this shit.
Exactly.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, it was. I hated that job, but I wrote a lot of jokes while I was working there. It gave me a lot of free time.
You had to forgive me too for my impression of just like what I assumed a Southern pesticide salesman would be. I just assumed it would be like in one of those things that you squeeze the back out of.
Foggers.
And it's like a door to door.
Well, that'd be great. Yeah. That would have been great. I think just show up, knock on the door. You got bugs?
Door to door.
Right.
Pesticides.
You want to kill them?
Yeah.
Is that ever a thing? Door to door pesticide?
No. I bet. I'm
really?
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. At one point. Yeah. Actually, my friend used to be a exterminator. When I lived in a trailer park, like when I didn't have a driver's license, he was a exterminator, and he would like skip out on his job, and so he would come to my house and just, you know, we would, you know, get high and stuff, and he would be like, I need to get rid of the pesticides because I can't go. He would supposed to be doing a job. But he's like, I can't show back up at work with all this chemical.
They're going to know I didn't do it.
So he would just let it go in the yard. Like, he would just cut it. Like, I mean,
I had a lovely lawn.
I had no bugs at my trailer.
Sure.
I mean, we were not that
clean. Or grass. Or...
Yeah. He would just let it go.
Critters, everything.
Yeah, there's probably still no bugs there.
No dogs, cats, anything. And wow.
Yeah. So
that's pretty negligent.
Yeah.
That's pretty negligent.
Yeah. And he kept that job for a long time.
Yeah.
God.
His
damn.
Boss was pretty slack. Like, I don't know how you, how the people that you're supposed to be spraying don't call and go, the guy never showed. But he yeah. he just kept that job for a long time.
That's amazing.
It is amazing. Yeah.
I have a I have a comical scheme. I'm gonna
start selling fertilizer to yeah. pesticides.
But I eventually when I quit drinking, I started winning some contests doing comedy because I started back comedy in 2008.
Right.
And I took a few years off and then I started back.
Now, did you keep when you decided to go back? Did you bail on the overalls or did you go back and doing the same kind of thing?
Totally bailed.
So
totally
you kind of reinvented a reinvention.
Yeah, I just was like, I'm just going to go out, just normal. And I did like this. I have a joke on my first album called Making That Fudge.
Right.
But the joke is a letters of the alphabet joke. And it's my weirdest joke. But I wrote this joke about the letters C, K, and S. Yep. You know, how K and S, the C makes both of those sounds, right? And it's very – so I gave those personalities, you know.
Right.
And I think it's a great joke, but I never do it because it's too much.
Right. A little meta for everybody.
Yeah, people don't follow.
Right.
You can't go Trailer Park, Goodwill, here's a letters of the alphabet.
Yeah.
I tried.
Grammar.
Yeah, yes, yes. And so I did that joke and it went so well, I was like, oh, I want to do comedy again.
Yeah.
And then I just got right into it.
So that joke is what did it, huh?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
And from there, how soon after that was Last Comic Standing?
7 years later.
Okay. Oh, wow. Okay.
So I lived in Charleston. There was no comedy club. We just did bars and theater shows.
Wow.
I was doing really nice theaters long before I should have been.
Yeah.
Really? Just
no scene.
Because of geography.
Yeah, we just had improv and a lot of theaters.
Okay.
Like Charleston still has a pretty big local acting scene.
Okay.
So they would do these comedy festivals where it would be like normally people are going to see theater shows. They'll now go see stand-up. So it's where I learned to be like – I felt like you had to be – your comedy had to be a bit smarter. It couldn't be so dirty, right? So that's why my comedy's not really – you know, every once in a while I have kind of an edgy joke. But that's just how I learned to do comedy.
And right. I'd also like to let you folks watching this know, it is a relatively clean show. I mean
– last night, yeah. It was,
yeah.
Clean beginning to end.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't. I mean, it's like I don't even think about it really. I mean, once in a while, I have a dirty joke that I write, and
sure.
then I'll play with it. But yeah. I usually just try to like figure out a different wording. You know, I have a couple that I could never figure out the wording, and I like the jokes. I just yeah. don't do them.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So you were just kind of like, you know, I got to swear, scrap it.
Yeah, I just figure out like a different. Like I used to have a joke where instead of saying shit, I would say dookie.
Yeah.
And I felt like dookie is a funnier word.
Much funnier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't want to. You know, you can't be like so. You know, you can't say dookie all the time.
Right.
So it's like you just figure out how to not. Like I have some bathroom jokes right now. I didn't do those last night, and I'm trying to figure them out. Sometimes they work great. Other times they don't.
Okay.
So I don't know. I feel like I just have jokes about like not washing my hands.
Okay.
It really grosses people out. I'm like, you know, I just, my whole idea of this is like, I just think I'm for washing your hands, but I just feel like it's too much. Like we have to wash our hands all the time now. It's like, what do you think's going on down here for me? I'm not
right.
peeing on my hands.
Yeah, right.
I take a shower. I put my clothes on. That's the cleanest part of my body.
Yep.
Right.
You know what I mean? They're like, you're going to spread hepatitis. I'm like, I don't have hepatitis on my on my junk down here.
Yeah, right.
You know, I'm not. It's not like if you're wiping, by all means, wash your hands.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
Let's not chance
a little
that
sanitizer clean.
Yeah,
up.
That's a joke too. That I'm like, you always look gross smelling your hands. You know.
Anytime people's hands are near their face, I kind of like, I don't know what it is about it.
Right.
They're grubby. Everybody's hands are grubby.
Yeah. I think the soap companies have made us self-conscious and that we're like, ooh, let's wash our hands all the time.
Yeah, wash it up.
It's like, I'm not birthing
those
a Purell baby.
Those Purell bastards are in my head.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, I just don't know what they think's going on all the time, right? But it's like, you know, the dirtiest thing is the bathroom, right? So we go, we clean our hands, and then we touch the door as yeah. we leave, and it's like, you're dirtier now.
Right, that's when you go into a public restroom, you touch the door on your way out.
Yeah.
And no one has done anything to solve that problem yet.
Yeah, but they should. They should
you know,
have
there are
open
some,
doors.
There are some places now that have like a little foot thing where yeah. you can put your shoe in it and open the door.
They also, I have noticed, like in malls and stuff, they don't even have the doors on the bathrooms. It's like you walk through like a little weird tunnel. Yeah.
But I used to, you know, I'm not one to like, you know, I know there's comics that are like, we never wore bike helmets, and now everybody wants to wear a bike helmet. Like, I don't, you know, I don't care. Wear a helmet, you know. But I used to play in dirt, and I grew up in a farm, and I used to play in, you know, we used to pick up like cow patties and throw at each other. Like, I don't know. I feel fine.
It was a cow patty party.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those are the days.
Yeah, I feel, I'm not like, let's be dirtier, but also like, I don't know. I just feel like washing our hands all the time. It's just too much.
It is a little too much.
Like if I, every time I stop at a public restroom, I got, you know, I got to wash my hands all the time. Yeah. You know, I'm not against it. Like, let's wash our hands, but I wash my hands before shows. Just
I'll be the judge of when they need to be washed.
Yeah.
Not this commercial.
I just feel like we're under this weird, like I did this jokes at a show one time. And then, cause I say, I hate when I'm in a public restroom and somebody else comes in there. Cause I'm like, dang, now I got to wash my hands.
Oh yeah. Right. It's competition.
So I was in this bathroom with this guy. And we looked at each other, and he goes, I'm not going to wash my hands. And I go, great, me either. And then we left. You know what I mean?
Verbal. Yeah, good.
As long as there was no high five, I think you're good.
Yeah, well, you're good.
Because I'm pretty sure that's how that super gonorrhea started. Yeah. Two guys refused to wash their hands, they high five. And just everything just...
And then every once in a while you get those faucets that only come on for like a second and a half.
Yeah.
So you got to keep moving your hands.
Yeah. And see, that's gross. But, you know, I don't have STDs and I don't have anything on my junk. So I feel all right. If you do have STDs, go ahead and wash them.
Yeah, wash them, please. You don't want to be a part of
it. Or if you don't want to wash them, wear condoms on your hands.
Yeah.
Right.
That's all.
Exactly.
Great idea.
Yeah.
Problem solved. They go on and off easy, and they get that moisturizer in there.
You should jot that down.
Your hands will be soft.
You ever see someone in the bathroom, though, like really scrubbing their hands? It's like, what happened in there?
Honestly, no, I haven't.
Honestly,
I've seen that before.
I see them really getting into it. I'm like, what? What have you been doing?
Right. Just using a bare hand to wipe?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, I was going to say, like, when you smell your hands, I'd say if instead of smelling your hands, just go ahead and wash them.
Yeah,
Because what's the thinking behind it, right? You touch something that was gross. And you're like, this may make my hand smell bad.
Yeah.
But let me check. And then if it doesn't smell, you don't wash them?
Yeah. Just wash them.
Just wash your hands, wash people.
It's good. That's your tip for today. That's your PSA.
Yeah, but, you know, it's like people get so – they get so – like I feel like I'll follow a comic that does like all this real gross material and everybody's laughing. And then I go, I like to compliment people's bathroom soaps so they think I wash my hands, right? And people go, ooh. And I'm like, take it easy.
Settle down.
It's like, what? They're so clean now. You know?
No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I just feel like people sometimes will look down on clean comedy, but they're like all about washing their hands. It's like, you know, like I get it. People used to birth babies and then they didn't wash their hands and then the woman died. Like, right?
Baby was fine.
Right. But I'm not birthing any babies.
Yeah, right. No, you're not.
I'm not sewing up any wounds.
Yeah.
I went to this in Charleston. They have a dental clinic, right? And I don't know that I've
just
ever,
the one.
Yes, well, like not a right. This is the South, you know, and not a dental. Not there's a lot of dentist office. But they have a dental clinic where people that are going to dental school, well, now they can operate on you for learning, and it's super cheap. Right. So I went there, and because I didn't have insurance, and I had a cavity. And I'm in the bathroom before I go in, and this guy is in there. And I see him, like, really scrubbing his hands. And then he leaves the water on. He goes and gets paper towels, dries his hand, cuts the water off with the napkin. And then he opens the door with the napkin and then props it open and throws the napkin in the trash. And I think, what a freak, right? And then he ends up being my dentist.
Yeah,
and
now
I
was you're like, happy.
That's great. Yeah. Yes.
Right? Yeah.
You got to ask yourself this, though. Was he putting on a show for you? Was he just trying to make you think he knew what he was doing? Like, if there was nobody in there, you think he would have just, like,
that could
not
be
gone
true.
Down that road?
That could be true.
Yeah.
I'm happy I was in. That's the thing. Like, he was like, ah, oh, somebody else is in here. Now I got to wash my hands, right?
I'm guessing.
You ever, sometimes I fake it. If somebody goes right into the stall, I'll just cut some water on for a minute.
Did you look at your watch?
Maybe let out some paper towels. I spend more time faking it than I would just washing my hands.
And see, what does that say about society that you like are expected to have to like put on a show for people in the bathroom?
Right, you do.
Yeah,
you feel like you do. I don't even use that.
So the guy who's in the stall shitting in public is going to look down at me.
Yeah.
For not washing, I'm a little upset now that I'm thinking about this.
If I'm at other people's houses, sometimes I'll cut on their sink for a minute.
Yeah, just to make them think.
Yeah.
Because you know the he's real clean.
Yeah. If it were, like, I like to clean my ears. You know what I mean? I like the way a Q-tip feels.
Sure. Nice.
Sometimes if I'm at people's houses, they have Q-tips on the counter. I'll just clean my ears real quick. Like, if washing your hands felt that good, I would do that more often.
Right.
Interesting.
But it doesn't.
Do you leave the used Q-tip on the counter? Or
no, I try to throw it away. I don't put it back in the thing.
Or, yeah.
Emphasis on try. You know, depends on the bathroom.
Yeah, sometimes there's not a trash can in there, and I don't know what to do with it.
Leave it on their pillow.
Just put it in my pocket. Put it in my shirt pocket. Take it with me. Use it later.
I got to ask you this, because I'm fascinated about one side of comedy. Like, when you went to do Last Comic Standing, what did you find the biggest thing you had to change about your act from going from clubs and performing to television?
Well, I don't know that I really had to change anything, because my comedy is pretty clean anyway.
Well, not necessarily in terms of the content, but in terms of how you present yourself and just the nuances between performing live and then doing a television to a camera kind of a situation.
Well, I would say I maybe learned more doing late night stuff, like, because I got on Last Comic Standing, I did the first round, and then they never showed me on TV, right?
Okay.
So I don't think that I had it figured out just yet.
Right.
I think it's more stage presence stuff. Like, I tend to move around a little bit, and they say, you know, don't sway. Don't, you know, because I kind of got this swaying thing that I do. And I don't know what it is. I even do it when I'm talking to people just in regular life.
Right.
But, you know, you can't move, and you don't want to. Like, I like to touch the mic cord and you can't do any of that kind of stuff. And it's like, so it's just worrying about now what you look like.
Gotcha.
In the same vein there with the swaying, and you say you sway, you move around a lot. When did the hand wave come into play into your act?
Well, that's always how I wave at people.
Yeah.
You know, and my wife told me, she said, you should start talking about that, you know, and I tried to write all these jokes about it, and it just came down to a very simple, I like to do this at the end of the joke, because it just, like, I came up doing so many bad gigs, right? I used to do so many bad clubs, so many bad, I love them all, right? But it's like, and that kind of stuff just comes about where you're like, I like to wave like this at the end of a joke, just to let you know that joke's over.
So great, right? It was so funny.
And then it saved me so many times, like, because now I can. Because what I want people to know in the audience is I'm fine up here. If it's not going well, I'm fine. Yeah. If a joke bombs, I'm fine.
Yeah.
I don't want them to be uncomfortable. I just want you to know that no matter what happens, I'll give you one of these waves, we move on.
I think that is incredibly brilliant for a lot of reasons. Just like you said, if a joke doesn't go over, just that wave in itself will get a laugh.
Yeah.
It's amazing. That's really smart.
Yeah, I just want people to know that it's like, we're on to the next thing.
Yep.
Because if a joke bombs sometimes, and then you just go to the next one without really any acknowledgement, it's almost like you dig yourself a weird hole.
It's a reset button is what you have there.
Yeah. I'm just like, okay.
Yeah.
You know, because I got some jokes that don't always go that well. Sometimes they do, so I keep doing them, and I like them. But like, I have a joke about Cracker Barrel right now that I cannot make work. But every once in a while, it ends up being really funny. So I keep it.
Yeah.
And but sometimes it takes, you just tell a joke for a long time, and then you find that thing.
Eventually you grow into it.
Yeah, right. You find kind a thing all of a sudden. But to your point about Last Comic Standing, I mean, I think the thing is just being tight, just knowing exactly where you want the laugh to come, where your jokes are at.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, sometimes you can be a little loose with comedy.
Right.
But, like, if you got 3 minutes, you're like, I got to get it tight.
Yeah, that's tight.
Yeah.
That's very tight.
When you did Kimmel and Fallon, you had to do 5 minutes. Was
yeah.
that hard for you to narrow down your set? Or did you have a good idea of what you wanted to do for that 5 minutes?
Yeah, I knew exactly what I wanted to do on Kimmel. But I think my mistake was I never opened with those jokes. Like, the Trailer Park jokes, those jokes that I did on there, they always go well, but I never opened with them. So then when I did Kimmel, I had to, like, warm up the audience, and I was like, so I did the first joke, and it didn't hit the way I wanted it to, and I was like, okay, I should have been opening with this.
Yeah.
Right.
And so by the end of the set, I really got them on board, but then I'm done. But with The Tonight Show, when I practiced that, I just opened with that 5 minutes for a few weeks.
Interesting.
And you felt that one went better?
I felt like it went much better. I mean, I think Kimmel went fine, but I think the Tonight Show went much better. But I think I had a better idea how to prepare.
Right. The Fallon, it was a home run. Great,
yeah.
Great set.
Thank you.
So, oh, absolutely. Yeah. Nobody would argue that. Yeah. That would be crazy. After you do Fallon, like, how big of a game changer was that for you?
I would say it really changed everything. I mean, it's like, it's not like it used to be where it's like you do the Tonight Show and then you're like instantly famous.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I got new management. I got a new agent. I got, ABC, like all that stuff really started to happen after the Tonight Show. And Just for Laughs, I mean, it was a combination. I did the Just for Laughs Comedy Festival. That's where like I initially met all of the people.
Now, that wasn't too long ago that you did Just for Laughs, was it? That was just a few years ago, wasn't it?
Just last year.
Yeah. Oh, last year. Okay.
Yeah, I think August of last year. So I did that, and then 2 weeks later, I did The Tonight Show.
Wow.
And something pretty exciting came out of Just for Laughs with ABC.
Like, yeah, it's like the combination of those two things. I met ABC, my manager, and my agent at Just for Laughs, but I didn't take on any of them yet. And then 2 weeks later, I did The Tonight Show, and then
they
really
kind of
opened it up. Yeah. I met ABC and they were interested in TV show ideas. And so I had this one, which was entirely based on my family.
Okay.
And the whole trailer park and the weird family tree. And so, yeah, so we talked and I ended up getting a development deal with ABC.
Congratulations.
Thank
That's
you.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Yeah.
How's it all working out for you so far?
Well, I mean, the whole process has been really good. I think we're at a place right now where we're just kind of deciding what happens next. But
awesome.
So with a development deal, when they say they have a deal going, do they pair you up with a writer, a producer?
Yeah, I got to work with a guy named Chad Gindon, who he wrote for, I really don't watch a lot of TV, and now the Santa Clara Diet.
Oh, yeah, right, Santa Clarita.
That was a Netflix show, wasn't
it? Yeah. Drew Barrymore.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he's really good. I mean, the script, I mean, he's really good at, I have no idea how to write a TV show, right? I don't even know if I ever wrote a good sketch in my life.
Yeah.
I've wrote some sketches, but it's debatable if they were good.
Right.
And,
I can see an episode title now. It's going to be great. It's going to be Not the Owls.
Yes, yes. And see, that's the kind of stuff. And it's, so it's like, that's what I want to get into. It's like, really, like, I think, like you were saying, like, people have an idea of what trailer park life is, and it's like every time you see trailer park stuff, it's very stereotypical. So
sure.
I want to really pull out, like, because a lot of that is true, and that's, you know, a lot of stereotypes come from a real place, you know?
Sure. Yeah.
But it's like, I want to, like, get into some more real stuff that really happens in there, you know?
I'm sure it'd be great.
And
I mean, they should be producing after-school specials out of the trailer park, like, every week is really the PSAs they should be doing.
Specials. Yes. And yeah, I mean, it goes down in there, you know, I mean, the trailer park is, I mean, like, we loved wrestling, and I'm going back to saying wrestling now. I used to, for a while, that's why I said all growing up, and I had no idea that I was even saying wrestling.
Yeah.
And I started saying wrestling because, you know, I'm living in the civilized world.
You know, wrestling in that particular industry is meant to be like an insult. It's really kind of like they look at each other and go, oh, you're a wrestler?
Yeah.
It's meant to be condescending.
Oh, let's not bring it back.
I say we bring it back.
Okay,
I'm for it.
Yeah.
Todd, stop your flip-flopping. We're wrestling.
Well, this is what they do.
Let's grapple. How about grapple?
They try to take the things that we're saying, like we say wrestling, and then people turn it into an insult. And it's like, you can't take the way we say it and insult us. That's what we say.
Yeah.
Wrestling.
All right.
There it is.
It's wrestling.
WWR. World, no,
wrestling's better.
WRF. If it was WRF, they wouldn't have had to change it to WWE.
That's 100% right.
Yep.
You're 100% right.
Good.
They dropped the ball on that one.
Why would we put a W before wrestling anyway?
World.
Yeah. No, I mean, like, you know, like it's wrestling. It's not wrestling. You know what
it
I mean?
Should just
Why
be
is the W slipping into stuff all the time? That's what I want to know. Silent W's.
Right.
You know?
That's
like
a lot of them.
Like who? Like, why do we need a W in there?
Right.
It's a good point. Should just be H-O.
Especially when you got all the questions.
Ho?
What, where, why, and then who is a silent W? That doesn't make any sense.
You're right. Yeah.
You really missed your calling. You should be writing books about the English language.
I know.
I think you should be doing.
I know. I got some. Yeah, I had a few other jokes here and there about it. But, yeah, I love that.
The D in Wednesday? Right? Would that be?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Wednesday is spelled so weird.
Weird, right.
Wednesday.
Right.
The N in there just always throws me off. I don't think I spelled Wednesday right until I was like in my 30s.
Yeah.
Like just that one word I always...
I still don't get it right most of the time.
Vinaigrette, there's an extra I. I could go on. I'm sorry.
You certainly could.
There's an I in there in the middle for no reason.
In what?
Vinaigrette.
Oh, vinaigrette.
Are you fucking for real with vinaigrette?
I don't even know if I know how to spell that.
Right.
Forgive me for the story. I'm just
vinaigrette.
Yeah, I'm just going off on a tangent.
Yeah, I don't know if I've ever tried to spell vinaigrette.
Well, don't try and do it.
Ranch is pretty easy to spell, yeah.
Which?
Ranch.
Ranch.
Yeah. All right. Ranch. That's what people at a restaurant like. I grew up far more country than most people. Like it's like but it's like you see like the country guys in the big trucks and it's like you have to have money to drive that truck. You know
sure
what I mean?
Do.
Right. So it's like we're driving like Oldsmobiles, you know, an old Oldsmobile. Yeah. You know? People don't think I'm as country as I am because if I'm outside of the South, you hear my accent. But in the South, my accent is actually
very mild.
Yeah, it's very mild.
I would say so too.
Yeah, but it's
so
like
my in-laws.
Yeah, like a Theo Vaughn really hangs on to that Louisiana accent.
He does.
That he has, but mine's gone away a bit. But
where's home now?
Nashville,
right?
Tennessee.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
I did comedy at the Grand Ole Opry last month.
Yeah, I saw that. That's great.
I'm doing comedy next month at the Grand Ole Opry again.
Really? And you got to meet somebody pretty cool at the
Opry.
I
met Charlie Daniels.
I saw the picture.
That's awesome. He's my
hero. I love Charlie Daniels.
Charlie Daniels is your hero, Cam?
I used to.
Yes, I'm from the South as well. So
I know what
the South's going to do.
I'm just grinning like an idiot back here.
I love it. When I first found Charlie Daniels when I was a kid, I had these big headphones that you couldn't really hear what you were saying. You had and I was singing that song Devil Went Down to Georgia.
Oh,
and I was at the time we lived in a house. We were really moving up, but it was a log cabin house, so I had a loft with no wall really.
Yeah.
And I was in my bed singing that song, and it gets to that I told you once, you son of a bitch, right?
Yeah.
And I was just belting that out.
Right.
And my mom the next day was like, I heard you singing that song last night. And then she said that, hey, when you get to that son of a bitch. And she wasn't even mad. She was like, she was just happy, I think, that I was listening to Charlie Daniels.
Yeah, who would be mad at you for that?
Right. Yeah. And I was like, oh. I felt embarrassed, but I was also like, we moved past it.
So when you meet Charlie Daniels and you see that guy, did you have a freak out moment?
I was really starstruck. Like my agent went with my, actually Charlie Daniels is represented by the same agency that I am, which is
very cool.
Very fun. Yeah. And so he took me, he knows him, but not that well. So he was like, he said after, he's like, you kind of left me hanging there with Charlie Daniels. He's like, I thought you would talk more. And I was like, honestly, What do I have to say to Charlie? Like, normally when I talk to comics, I talk about road stories or whatever, but I got no road stories to match
what
up
do you
with
do?
Charlie
Look
Daniels.
Look at Charlie Daniels go, so fiddling.
Right.
Like, what are you going to do?
It's all like I could just praise him all day and be like, I love this song, this song, this song, this song. And he's like, yeah.
He hears it all the time.
Right.
Right.
I don't know what to say to him.
There's really not much you can.
He offered. He was like, sit down in here. Hang out. And I was like, great. And I just kind of sitting there looking at him.
That's the best thing you could do, too, is just take it in.
Yeah.
You know, take
That's what I'm saying. I want to hear what he has to say. He doesn't care what I have to say.
Now, was he performing that night?
Or he did, yeah. So I got to watch him play Devil Went Down to Georgia.
Yeah. How long a set did he do?
I think he did four songs.
Great.
But he did a new jam that I had never heard in the middle of Devil Went Down to Georgia, right? He really plays it. And like halfway through the song, like he wears out a bow and he throws it out to the audience. And then he's got a bow man that has a new one ready. So he just reaches back. But he played this jam.
Cam,
and then
you have a future. You need to be a bow man.
Yeah.
It's like the pick guy.
And after the jam, he holds the fiddle up in front of him and blows on it. And then like the dust comes off. I was like, that's so badass.
Yeah.
Like,
that's crazy.
Charlie Daniels is in his 80s, and he's still jamming.
Wearing out bows.
Yeah.
Wearing out bows, yeah.
Yeah, it's so good.
So you're backstage, you're hanging out with Charlie Daniels, you watch him perform, and then do you go on after him or before him?
I didn't go on that night.
Oh, okay. I was confused.
But
no
one goes on after Charlie.
I was going to say.
He closes
it out. I was
going to
say, because that would be, I'd be at the end just, I would have climbed a fence. I would have been like you. I would have gone out the back door.
Yeah, put on some overalls, climbed a fence.
Yeah, you don't go out after Charlie Daniels and go, hey, I grew up in a trailer park.
Hey, how'd all this dust get on the stage?
Yeah. Out of the dust comes Dusty. You know what I mean?
But that's great. You got to meet him.
Yeah, I love it. I mean, Trace Adkins was there too.
Another great one. Yeah,
Who cares? Charlie Daniels.
Yeah, I know, right? It's like that. Yeah, it's got to suck for Trace Adkins, right? You're like on the Opry and you're like, but you still like are getting Charlie Daniels is next.
Sure.
Right? It's like, but.
So you get to do it next month. You're back at the Opry.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you'll be headlining?
Oh, no.
Or is it part of a whole show?
Yeah, it's just a showcase, right? So it's like everybody does, all musicians do two songs unless you're headlining, and then comics get 8 minutes. But not a lot of comics do it, so so it's nice.
How are the audiences, do they respond to comedy?
It was so great. I mean, I didn't know. I was like, I have no idea what's going to happen. But I've done enough. Like, I've opened for James Gregory a few times, who's like an old Southern comic. And it's like, he has the same kind of audience. Yeah, right. I love James Gregory. I think he's great. But yeah, he is an old Southern comic, you know. I don't mean to disparage him by saying that. But
Todd's an old Southern comic.
Okay. Yes. Yeah. But I love James Gregory. I mean, actually, it's weird. That's kind of how I got into professional comedy. My mom was listening to the radio, and she was like, I heard James Gregory on the radio. He said he's looking for an opener. You should email him.
So, I love moms. Yeah, moms are the best.
Yeah. So as dumb as it seemed, I was like, you know what? I'll check it out. So I went to his website. I saw his email and his manager's email, and I emailed them both. And then his manager emailed me back. And then I ended up being represented by his manager for a while.
Wow.
And so he helped me get into road comedy and stuff like that, but.
Just sidebar real quick. Who wins in a fight, Jerry Clower or James Gregory?
Oh, Jerry Clower.
Yeah.
All day. I mean, I love James Gregory, but Jerry Clower, he seems like a
brawler.
Yeah, I mean, James Gregory lives in Atlanta. Like, he's very Southern, but he's real city-fied now.
Yeah, okay.
He's city-fied.
I don't know.
Says the guy who went to the city school.
Yeah. Who's to say, though? I mean, James Gregory has some great jokes about he has a great joke about, he'll say, people say, you know what all that unhealthy fat food's going to do for you? He's like, hell yeah, fill me up. He's like, I'm going to need the energy because I need the strength when one of my healthy friends dies working out.
Yeah, right.
He's like, I'm usually a pallbearer, you know, and I can't do his jokes, but he's very funny.
No, he's definitely a classic.
He says his son-in-law had a butter spray. I can't believe I'm doing other comics jokes, but he has a butter spray. He says, if your son-in-law sprays butter, there ain't going to be no grandkids.
So I don't know if you guys know this, but there are 7 words you can't say on television. I'd like to read them all to you now,
please.
Okay. While we're doing other people's jokes, I'm just gonna go right into it.
Yeah.
So Dusty, I got to ask you. You got the show you're working on with ABC. What else do you have in the cooker going, man? What's in the
hopper? Well, I'm doing Moon Tower Comedy Festival in Austin.
That's a big one.
Yeah. I'm doing Clusterfest, which is a Comedy Central festival in San Francisco coming up.
Excellent.
Hoping to do another late night. I don't have it. It's not happening yet, but it's in the works. Mm-hmm. And, you know, hopefully get some kind of special at some point.
You will.
Yeah, I have a great manager now, and she's on it. I mean, I got a great manager. I got a great a whole management team. Levity is who I'm rep by, and the whole team is really good. I mean, I have a lot of people working and doing stuff, and then my agency is. I mean, they're getting me gigs all the time. I'm doing like corporate gigs where it's like unbelievable pay, right? Yeah, I'm like, I can't believe that this is happening. I'm doing a corporate gig for like Sheetz, the gas station.
Yeah.
And the pay is pretty amazing. I was like, wow, that's my new favorite gas station.
Sheetz all day.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, that's great.
You know, it's funny that you mentioned that you were represented by Levity. I am also represented by Levity, but I seem to have lost their phone number.
Okay.
And I'm just wondering if you might want to leave it here for me before you go. So, Dusty, I'm really excited for your shows tonight. We got a 7 o'clock and a 9 o'clock. I would like to give out some tickets to folks watching. Now Mark gave me the permission to do that.
Right.
So what I'd like to do is...
Well, they're all sold out. Maybe we can clear out a couple of seats for... Well,
he's got some Carlson Cast tickets set aside for our folks.
I'm very famous.
VIP, our VIP Carlson casters out there. So what I'd like to do is have you, if you don't mind...
Yeah.
Just give me a random word, something Southern that you like.
Ooh.
Because we're going to do this via text contest.
You know what a word that I always like is because, and I don't even know how you would spell this, but people, you know, they always say fixin', like I'm fixin' to do this.
Okay.
But where I grew up, we always would be like, I'm finna do this.
Finna.
Yeah.
Drive the X?
Yeah. I mean, I'm just like, I'm finna run down to the store real quick.
Right.
Right? And it's like, it doesn't even make sense.
So here's what I'd like to have happen.
I'd like to do Fitna.
Those of you who are watching this right now and you want to come see Dusty, here's what you need to do. You need to send in a text to 585-484-0265 and your best attempt at spelling Fitna.
Yeah.
Right.
Your
Fitna
best attempt.
Is what happens when you take I'm about to
yeah.
and then change it to I'm fixing to I'm Fitna. Right.
That's it.
That's perfect.
Figure out how to spell it. And your best attempt, you're going to win a pair of tickets to come see Dusty.
Yeah. It's I always say that, you know, it's hot in the South, right? We don't have a lot of, you don't want to waste a lot of energy on words. Like, it's like, let's just bring them all together.
Right. Make it lazy.
It's hot. Yeah.
Good. You we might talk be slow. To go see a show.
And we want to use less words.
And the show was great last night. I'm not sure. Were you here last night?
So I was in the middle of a crisis last night.
Oh, you were. You know? Yeah, right. Oh,
no, so
yeah.
I didn't get to stay, but I was there to watch you, and I didn't get to stay. So I'm going to come tonight. I'm going to be here tonight for the roast battles and tomorrow night for New Comic Night.
Oh, right.
So 100%, I'll catch your side.
Yeah. Yeah, great
looking forward to it.
Yeah, you know, and I also just stuff coming up. I mean, I did some shows with Bert Kreischer recently, who's
great.
Really funny.
The
and,
Machine.
Yeah.
So I hopefully will get some dates back. He has the Body Shots World Tour, you know.
Them.
So hopefully I'll get some fall dates with
yeah,
that
great.
Too, because that's a lot of fun.
Or you could hire me, and I won't wear a shirt,
Boom.
And it's our
Same
own
thing.
Tour now,
yeah.
and we win.
Perfect.
Right.
Let's do it. I'm down to go with anybody that's completely selling out shows.
Oh, that's Vinny.
Or,
sure. sure.
I mean, that's what's amazing. I mean, like, Bert Kreischer is really funny and really nice, and he's selling out shows everywhere. But every friend that I tell, I'm like, yeah, I was opening for Bert Kreischer. They have no idea who he is.
Yeah.
You're kidding me.
It blows my mind that that's happening with comedy.
Yeah.
Like, there's so many comics out there. Like, Brian Regan is another one. I'll tell my friends, I'm like, they're like, who's one of your favorite comics? I'm like, Brian Regan. They're like, I don't know who that is.
Yeah.
It blows my mind.
I had the same.
I'm short-circuiting.
Yeah, same thing. I went to see a couple weeks ago, we had Bob Saget here.
Who?
Bob Saget. But then I went to Ithaca to see Tom Papa, and I told people that I don't know Tom Papa. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
You should know Tom.
Nate Bergazzi is another guy. He's a Nashville guy.
Nate.
I had to explain to somebody who he was the other day.
He's selling out all over the place.
Yeah.
And people have no idea who he is.
Yeah.
You know, I no one knows who I am, and I'm not selling out, so that makes it a little more
They're
sense.
They're going to know who you are. They're going to know.
yeah.
So the last question I'd like to ask you today before I let you go enjoy yourself in Rochester, it's one that I like to ask everybody because we have a lot of young performers that watch this show, people who want to be comedians or are working their way towards it and are just thinking about doing it. So I guess my question is, if you were going to start all over again now, 2019, if you were going to start from scratch, you didn't exist, Tonight Show never happened, how would you go about it? What do you think your first steps would be?
Well, I mean, I think that I would, you know, go to an open mic. I mean, I feel like people want to skip steps all the time, right? You just
right.
like I have some musician friends, right? And they are very popular at music, and then they want to do comedy, and then they get right into the comedy club because they have great agents. And I'm like, that's fine. I would do that too if I could take advantage of that.
Sure.
But it's like I feel like you need the grind. Like, you need to go in there with the comics, and you need to figure out how to make the comics laugh. Because once you make them laugh, then you get into the groove, right? And then you feel comfortable, and then you can, and then you got to figure out how to make real people laugh. You can't get stuck making comics laugh, right? But I think that's what I would do. I would just, you know, I would just figure out the funny things that have happened to me in my past, write those down, and then just start working those stories. Because it would be nice, actually, to be able to go to an open mic in my hometown, in Nashville, where people don't know me, and just start working from that place again. Because I feel like when you get to a place where people start to know you, it's hard to work out your jokes.
Right.
Because then sometimes you can't tell if people are laughing because they just, and not even because they're like, oh, you're doing things and we want to be your friend, but because they know you and they know who you are, so things are funnier when you know someone.
Right.
You know, like when your friend tells a joke, even if that joke's not all that funny, you laugh because it's your friend.
Friendship right. hides warts.
Yes.
yeah, he's right. He's
yeah,
absolutely
like
right.
That, yeah.
But I think what so many people miss doing comedy is they just have an idea of what they want to say. They're like, oh, I want to talk about this. I say write it down.
Yeah.
Right.
Just know where you want people to laugh and then be honest with yourself. If they don't laugh, know that they didn't laugh.
Yeah.
If they do, accept it. don't beat yourself up all the time, but also don't think you crushed when you didn't. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Because people do that.
God, I love you right now.
Yeah.
That's one of those things that really makes me crazy is people don't take the time to think about what they just did. You may get a big applause when you come off the stage.
Right.
But there's always something you could have done better.
Yeah, I mean, I have friends on both sides. I have friends that think they crushed every time, no matter what. And I have friends that I go, great set. And they're like, oh, it was okay. And it's like, you just accept when you do well.
Right.
And accept when you don't. You can't get better if you're like, oh, that was great. Or you know, or if you blame the audience. Sometimes it is the audience's fault, but very, very rarely.
Yeah. I feel like I've heard that a lot of people. You can't blame the audience. Well, I guess that's a good like rule of thumb for a comic to try to not, you know, constantly be pushing their bad performance out on the crowd. But sometimes you're absolutely right. It is the audience. Yeah. The audiences are terrible sometimes.
I actually worked with this comic. I won't say who, but he was headlining, and I had never met him. And we were talking, and he was like, oh, you never blame the audience. It's never the audience's fault. And then, like, show three of the night, he was like, listen, I say never blame the audience, but it's like, oh, so three shows later, now we can blame the audience. Sometimes it is the audience's fault. Very rarely, but sometimes it is.
Sometimes it is.
Congrats to Matt DiCecco. He's going to go see the 9 o'clock show tonight.
Hey, great.
Definitely spelled Fitna wrong.
How do you spell it?
Two with two I's.
No.
Oh, that's
F-I-apostrophe-I-N-A.
No. That's vinaigrette.
That's vinaigrette.
Yeah, that's vinaigrette.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I've vinaigrette to inform you. You are a loser, sir.
I would say it's F-I-T, maybe an apostrophe, N-A.
F-I-D-N-A. Yeah, there's an apostrophe in there somewhere.
Yeah, it should be a T instead of two I's.
Yeah.
But you know what?
Fitna, I'm glad he won.
You better set this guy straight on the 9 o'clock show.
Yes, Fitna.
Get him together.
I'm Fitna set him straight.
Yeah, all right.
You get it?
We got more people texting in.
That seems like, keep sending them.
Yeah. I want to know how to spell this. We'll get it. We'll figure it out today.
Fitna. You can even tweet at me, at Dusty Slay. You're Fitna.
Now, are you an Instagram person, Twitter
I like
person?
Instagram better.
Yeah?
Instagram is in my Facebook fan page. Those are my two favorite things. Because the Facebook fan page, I don't really see other Facebook. Because I think Facebook has been destroyed. I mean, it's just like too many people are on there. And it just, I don't even know what people are talking about.
The population of the planet is on there.
Yeah.
That's definitely too many people.
Everybody gets real political, and it's just insane. Political. I don't know what's happening. It's like, this is what I think happened. Like, people used to have journals, and they used to have these private thoughts, and then they would go write them down in a journal, and then no one would read them. Yeah. Now they have those private thoughts, and they go, I'm going to put this on Facebook.
Broadcast it, yeah.
And it's like, you don't have, like, people feel like they're like, I have to get this out there.
Oh, that was me liking your Facebook page. Sorry.
Okay.
We were just giving you a little love.
But I like to put stuff on the Facebook fan page. I finally got more followers on that than you could allow friends on Facebook. So now I'm into it.
Right.
But it's like, I don't know what people are doing. It's like, you don't, like, I don't know. That's why I just stopped sharing my opinion. It's like, no one needs to know what I think.
Yeah.
Then no one cares. I know no one cares what I think about politics. So... And I don't really even know what I think. You know what I mean? I don't care.
Do we really care what anybody thinks?
Right.
You know?
I just want lots of freedom and no taxes. That's all I want.
Hey, I'm with you on that.
That's all I want.
Some libertarian ideology.
Yeah, and I don't even care. I don't even need any term for it. This, like, I think that's what we should start doing, right? Instead of talking about who we like and what our political affiliation is, just say what we want. Yeah. Don't even say what we don't want. Just say what we want.
Right.
And I think we
make it easy.
Yeah, we would all get along, I think, if we just were like, oh, you want those things too. Me too. I don't even want weed to be legal. I just want it to be decriminalized. You know what I mean?
I think that's a good idea too, because once they make weed legal, nobody's going to be able to get it.
Right.
It's like, going to be a nightmare.
Yeah, it's pretty easy to get. I just don't want to get arrested for it.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Someone who was telling me about what they're doing in Canada at the moment, they legalized it.
Yes.
And you have to get it through mail order.
Oh, wow.
It's part of the law, I believe.
I have some insight on this. I just went to Canada for that reason.
Go mail someone weed?
No. It's illegal on a government level, but not on a
province
level. No, it's legal government, but province level it's illegal. So they just raid all the time.
Oh.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's very hard to get. It's very hush-hush.
Thank you, Ken.
Well, my friend, Brett Brock, drew this picture of Doug Stanhope.
Oh, did he really?
Yeah, he drew my album, my Son of a Ditch album. Brett Brock drew
this. You're kidding me, same guy?
Yeah.
People can't see what that is on the screen.
Yeah.
Actually, watch us. Show my camera. We're going to mess around a little bit. That painting, right?
Yeah.
That picture of Doug Stanhope right
there. Yeah, my friend Brett Brock, he drew that.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. Isn't that terrible? Look at my midsection. I'm ruining my own studio. It's beautiful.
It looks good.
But my wife's from Canada, and they have, even before it was legal, they had like almost like speakeasy type weed shops. Like I went into one, and this girl was like selling jewelry and stuff, and then they can let you into the next back room where they have a shop set up.
Is it set up like one of those bathrooms with just the doors you got to go through the maze to get into?
Yeah, kind of like that, yeah. And then that way they could shut it down and run out of there if they need to.
When their overalls over a fence.
Yes, exactly.
When you go into the backyard there, you just see like a bunch of pairs of overalls just lying over the fence.
Yeah. That's so true, though. I totally did that. I haven't thought about that in a long time.
I wish you had some video.
Yeah, me too. I do have some video of me doing comedy in the overalls, but I haven't made it public yet on YouTube because I'm afraid once I do, then it's out there forever. You know?
Yeah.
Oh, it'll be out there forever, and it'll be endearing. People will love it about you.
Yeah.
People will watch and go, oh, look how far this guy's come.
I know.
That's a success story is what people want to say.
Out there.
If you were still wearing the overalls and then you put that out, then it'd be a little bit of a different story.
Right.
It's a look back time capsule at this point.
Yeah. I had a great time, but I was so afraid doing comedy back then. Like, I still remember the moment that I had fun the first time on stage, right? I always had fun, like, if the jokes were going well after the show was over, I was like, wow, that went well, and I feel good now.
Right.
But I wasn't having fun on stage for a long time.
Yeah.
I actually used to do show. We had a theater, Charleston Music Hall. It seated 900 people. And my friend became the director of it, and he was reviving it, or whatever you call it. And so he would let me do shows there. And I did a couple of weekend shows, and I got, you know, a couple of hundred people in there, which wasn't bad, but 900. And then you got me do a Wednesday show, and I had 30 people in a 900-seat theater. And it was such a failure of a show, but I went out, and I was just having fun doing comedy.
Good.
That's amazing. That was the moment where I was like, okay, I like this. I'm doing this.
Yeah, good.
And now I just have fun.
See, that's the very important thing. That feels very different than a lot of people when they first start. Because a lot of people first start and they have just a little bit of fun, and that is just becomes the most fun thing in the world. I mean, I find it hysterical that you were doing it and not enjoying it for so long.
Yeah, it was like I would enjoy it after. Like if it went well, I was like, it would give me this rush, and I was like, that's worth it to me.
It's a great feeling.
But in the moment, I wasn't really having fun. I had jokes memorized, and I was like, I got to stick to this script. And now I have enough jokes to where I used to write out, I still write out a set list now and then, but most of the time I just know the jokes now and I just go out and do them.
That's a good feeling.
Yep, that's good.
When you love what you do, you never work.
I love it. I mean, I get tired. I mean, I'm driving everywhere, I'm flying everywhere, but it's like, I also got tired when I sold pesticides. You know what I mean?
And I had no fun doing that.
Yeah.
The people at the Lowe's didn't think I was funny.
No.
Thank you, Dusty Slay, for being
our
guest
tonight. Thank you. Thanks for having me. This is great.
Yeah. You're very welcome. So,
pleasure
folks,
having you.
During the rest of the show, start texting your interpretation of how to spell FITNA, and you'll win some tickets.
Yeah.
We're going to be back with Stand Up News with Ross Johnson in just a minute. For being awesome and watching another episode of the Carlson Cast. Don't forget, we're streaming live on Facebook and YouTube every Friday morning. You could also follow us on social media on Twitter and Instagram at CarlsonCast. You can listen anytime on iTunes, Google Play, and we're now available on Spotify. You should also check out an amazing app called Laughable. And on the Laughable app, you can connect to your favorite comedians in a way you never thought you could before. Download it in the App Store and visit CarlsonCast.com for information on more shows. And don't be a jerk. Rate and review. All right, we are back. I'd like to introduce my favorite segment and yours, the one before we go home. It's the News with Ross, everybody.
Hey, everybody.
Hey.
We can just go home if you want.
No. I love the news. That's my favorite segment.
It's true.
I mean, I love the show.
It's like my grandma.
Yeah.
It's the same. Yeah.
She's your favorite grandma.
She's my favorite grandma.
Right.
So, very special birthday
this past week.
You remembered?
I did remember. Mm-hmm. Happy birthday.
Oh, that's not my birthday.
Carl Reiner. How old would you guess Carl Reiner is?
90.
108.
No, I'm going to say 79.
79. We got 90. Cam says
108.
Did that Price is Right buzzer go off?
No. I'm thinking Rob Reiner.
Rob Reiner. Yeah,
can I re-guess?
This is the elder Reiner.
All right, 101.
101. He's 97. So I guess Todd gets the...
If it was the Price is Right, I won.
If this is the Price is Right, you lose.
Oh, no. You can't go over. So.
I win.
Right. So good job.
Well, really, thank you, Ross.
97 years old.
Trying to still steal my victory, are you?
See they have dudes on the Price is Right now?
What's that?
They have dudes instead of women on The Price is Right now. Nice. I saw this the other day.
Finally.
Ross is thrilled.
My time has come.
The hour of power. Nice.
So Carl Reiner's 97. So that's happy birthday. Still looks better than Brian Ball. He is. So he's busy. This ties into the National Comedy Center, which is semi-local. So we like to talk them up a little bit. He's a... busy. He's still working. He's currently busy gathering and coordinating his old Dick Van Dyke scripts that are all annotated and stuff. And he's gonna put them together and donate them to the Comedy Center. So
cool.
That's amazing.
That's really cool.
You know.
Yeah. Absolutely.
That was one of the best written sitcoms in the history of the world. And I honestly tell people this a lot. One of the first times I ever realized that comedy could be a job. Was watching reruns of the Dick Van Dyke Show.
Right. Oh yeah. I mean that was definitely. You look at the way they interacted. They had. It was a job. That's what they did. They were comedy writers.
That was
writers.
The job. Yeah. Rosemary, go into an office.
Maury Amsterdam. You had
I wanted to be Rosemary.
Maury Amsterdam.
Carl Reiner played. Didn't he play?
He was the boss.
He was his boss.
He was the original. Did you know this? He was the original star of the show. But he was too. They said he was like too Jewish.
Possibly.
He was originally the Dick Van Dyke character.
I have to say, Jewish. Yeah. It's very arrogant of him to cast himself as the lead on the Dick Van Dyke Show.
It's a little arrogant.
That's a good point.
I mean, I think you skipped a couple steps, there, Carl.
Maybe there was more. Maybe it wasn't just anti-Semitism.
That was. Right. That was the problem.
We're gonna need Dick Van Dyke.
He was anti-Dutch. Just right. It's like, screw you, Mr. Van Dyke.
Damn.
Okay, so next up, we like to see comedians that have been out of the scene for a while, classic comedians who return to the stage. That's always a nice thing.
Do we, though?
Depends.
Do we know
when? Let's hear him out. Let's hear who it is.
Roseanne Barr took to the stage in Las Vegas this weekend.
Oh.
Drop a Can of Laugh Factory. That's actually
She looks pretty good there.
I chose a good picture of her because there were a lot of not great pictures of her, and I wanted to not be the look, the old woman doesn't look good. That's a good picture of her is all I'll say.
That's a great picture.
I just
of her.
Undercut my whole
is that
thing
at the
about
show?
Not doing that. That is not at the show.
Oh, okay.
No, the only pictures from the show, there were a couple of good pictures of Dice, but then the rest were like really not good cell phone pictures.
Right.
So I chose not to do a picture from the show.
Are the reviews in on her performance?
No. You know what? I did not see any reviews. Dice talked about it a lot. He put a lot of stuff on his Instagram and stuff, and did some clips. He, according to him,
do you follow Dice on Instagram?
I don't. No. I don't.
Okay, I was just going to say. I think you should.
That answer is suspect.
Did that sound off-brand?
A little
that
bit.
I would follow.
A little bit. It sounded off-brand. Agreed.
Yeah, so Roseanne, speaking of self-named sitcoms, Roseanne, of course, best known for getting fired from the show that she was named after her. But
Carl Reiner tried to replace her.
Carl Reiner was the original Roseanne.
Oh, Dan.
Is that right? He's too Jewish.
Yep, too Jewish.
Yeah, didn't settle with Middle America.
So Dice says she did great, but I was not able to find anything about what she, you know, what the
it wasn't
the joke
like that
was
Louis C.K. situation where all the cell phone footage
got
to the internet.
Right. I guess it was a complete surprise. They sort of like dragged her out at the last second. So
traditionally speaking, I've always been a Roseanne Barr fan.
Oh yeah,
I think her comedy was really great back in the day. She's one of those people who turned a gimmick into a sitcom. A lot of people talk about that. Back in the day, it was like the blueprint. The way you get on TV is you come up with an act that tells who you are as a person, and that's how you sell it.
Yep.
And she, the domestic goddess character that she came up with, was brilliant, and it was exactly right for the time. So I'm hoping that she reinvents herself, gets herself together, and, you know, continues to be a brilliant comic. I mean, She didn't really do that after the show left the first time. Maybe second time's the charm for her.
Well, and that's the thing. I mean, I am not a fan of 2019 Roseanne, I have to say. But, I mean, you cannot take away from her the brilliant career and the show and the comedy and the all of that. I mean,
but in 2019, it feels like you can.
Well, it kind of feels like you can, I guess. But but it doesn't erase. I'll say that.
Sure.
Yeah. You can still find reruns of Roseanne somewhere.
100%.
They're everywhere.
Where was I the other day? There was a thing that was like, watch Roseanne for free. It was on some website. I think it was like Vudu or something. They just had all of Roseanne's back catalog. Okay. I was like, I bet you got that cheap.
Of her stand-up or her show?
Just her shows.
Oh, the show's on TV Land nonstop.
Yeah.
That and Golden Girls.
Yeah, she's doing just fine. Look at that beautiful blonde hair.
They put all those on there before all that controversy happened. So you she probably
still,
got paid.
You
could
still take things off, you know, Cam.
I forget the channel. The Cosby Show is still on like frequently because we get we've got DirecTV. So you'll flip through and it, like
still with CGI'd Carl Reiner.
Well, Bill Cosby was not Jewish enough.
Nope.
It turns out that was the problem.
Times change.
No.
And you know, it's so funny because they weren't originally going to do Carl Reiner. They actually had Rob Reiner do it, but then they said, not rapey enough. Okay, moving on.
Oh, my.
Okay, let's move on. That's our show. Quickly, so we've talked about some of the new Netflix things that have been going on. So Tiffany Haddish and Wanda Sykes are teaming up, which is a pretty good team,
excellent.
I think. They're not doing a show together, but they're producing a show called Tiffany Haddish Presents They Ready. And the goal is that she's got six comedians. There's going to be hour-long comedy specials. She's going to host it. And the idea is, she said she believes that the industry often excludes women, people of color, and LGBTQ performers, and as such wants to put a diverse group of comedians in the spotlight. So, some new-ish.
It's a great idea.
Yeah, these are not big names, but they're people that have done other stuff, so they're not complete... they're not complete newbies, but
no. Our friend April Macy just filmed hers
on Tuesday and Wednesday night.
Yep. She did hers, and she's been talking about it for weeks. She just couldn't go public with it.
Wow.
Yeah, that's great.
I did not realize that.
Sure.
Can't wait for April to come back, and we'll talk to her about that.
Yeah.
I noticed something about Netflix. I always feel like we end up talking about the way they market and the way they do stuff. But I was thinking about this the other day. What they've been doing. If you look at the comedy business in general, if you look at New York City, and you look at the way that things are structured. What Netflix is doing is taking a tried and true strategy that has been successful. And what that is the showcase. Mm-hmm. The showcase of talent that is, somewhat, cohesive together, where it's like kind of a theme. And then you take that and, you may book a 90-minute show and have five or six comics doing a little bit of time of the same type of theme. And what they're doing is, like when they did The Degenerates, And it sounds like with this one is they're just taking that recipe and filming it. Yeah. And I think that's kind of brilliant.
I don't know why anybody hasn't
thought of doing it before.
Well, that's it. It gets new, as far as the comedians, it gets their faces out there. It gets their comedy out there. And as far as the audience, there's a lot of content. So you don't know the names. So you're not necessarily going to tune in.
Yeah.
But if you put something together like this, especially if you slap like Tiffany Haddish and Wanda Sykes on it, that's a draw.
What a great job. Netflix pays great, and all you have to do is host a show.
It's true.
Man, I'm jealous of Tiffany
Haddish.
Vinny
Paulino presents
The Unbookables. Oh, somebody already did that. Somebody may have already done that. I just think that it's really interesting the way people are now starting to embrace comedy. And when you see that, like, they're taking the themed showcases and turning that into a series, that's opportunity for comics. So I'm all about it.
Yeah, it's a great platform. Great.
So I've realized with this that this was unintentional or unconscious, but we've sort of gone back in time. So we started with Carl Reiner and Roseanne and then got to Tiffany Haddish and Wanda Sykes. So the Gotham Comedy Club in Manhattan is coordinating with the Kids in Comedy stand-up comedy.
Are you kidding me?
Wait a second.
Yeah. So this is a
oh my
God. I can't even believe this.
This is craziness.
I was just talking about doing something like this yesterday.
Were you really?
Yes.
He came right up to Mark and I. He's like,
I was talking about for the summer. Idea. I said, okay, we should do something over the summer for kids.
I'm sorry.
That's funny.
Is this good or bad?
This is great.
Oh, okay, good.
We're just going to steal it from Gotham.
Sure.
This is amazing.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Gotham.
So this is a program that's existed for a while, but they're sort of expanding, and they're doing an actual summer camp this summer. And then you, once you've gone through the program, you get to do you get some stage time at Gotham. So there's a
summer
they do
camp.
Like a graduation show.
Comedy camp.
That's a great, I mean.
They're teaching them how to write, how to do all the stuff, so.
Do you know this, listen, as a fat kid.
Sure.
Who just got nothing but torture during the summers, I love this idea.
Right, you don't have to get sweaty, you don't have to run around.
Do you think there are any non-fat kids that do this?
True.
Any non-fat kids that try to do stand-up camp?
Yeah.
No, they're all a bunch of porkers.
Sure.
Yeah. Little dough balls like
that's
me.
That's all right.
Yeah.
That's good.
And that's all right. They need to get out their angst, too.
So I thought this was a neat thing. I didn't realize you had already invented it, but...
it's not what my thought was. My thought was something very different than doing a stand-up camp for kids.
Yeah.
It was not a camp for kids.
I was just telling Mark, let's do a showcase of women, LGBTQ, and black women, people.
And with Wanda Sykes.
And Carl Reiner.
Carl Reiner.
Hosted by the CGI ghost of Carl Reiner.
He's alive.
Yeah, that kid in that picture is a little hefty.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know who that kid is, but...
I'm not body shaming.
But I mean, you know, I think it's...
I like how he's dressed like a hipster. That's kind of cool.
Good kid. My mother's a real bitch.
Yeah. I think people who have...
Let me tell you about my mom. I could go all day with what this kid's saying. And my third grade English teacher...
She could get it.
Yeah, okay, we're just not going to go there.
So anyway, so this seems like a good thing. I think people in comedy know that it's a long game, usually.
I've noticed.
Been doing it for many, many, many decades.
Through this show and just from personal experience, I've noticed that a lot of some of the best comedians in the world started when they were very young.
Yeah.
Very young.
Yeah. There's a YouTube video of Seth Rogen doing stand-up when he was like 17.
Wow.
Yeah. Well,
but it was in Canada, so.
It was in Canada.
So, yeah.
And he's not even a stand-up anymore.
And you can start at any age, and maybe a camp for old people is the next next step.
Carl Reiner's.
Carl Reiner's comedy camp.
it's one of the...
KKK. It's amazing. We have 24-hour nursing.
Diaper changes on the hour.
Also featuring Dick Van Dyke's corpse.
I did
it's alive.
These
people are alive. These people are all alive. You're just assholes.
Dick Van Dyke's.
Find a dead person.
Is a great man.
Thank you.
For a Dutchman. No, just
kidding. He's
alive.
I know.
Oh, I thought you were saying he wasn't alive.
He was just in Mary Poppins.
Yeah. Yeah, he was in Mary Poppins.
He was great, man.
Did that bring a tear to your eye?
Absolutely.
Mine too.
Yeah. And Angela Lansbury, also alive. Look at all these living people.
Angela Lansbury.
She's in it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it.
She plays the teapot. No, wait, that's the wrong one. So comedy camp for kids.
It's just fizzling out right now, isn't it? This is just falling apart at the end here.
You know what? I would like to hear your opinions on this, folks. If you think this is a cool idea or you know kids that want to be involved in this, I'm not asking you to send me kids' information or anything like that, but just tweet at the show.
Pictures of children that you think might be interested.
Send them to Brian
send
Ball.
Send me their info.
Send all the kid pics to Brian Ball. No, but if you know kids or you think this would be something cool that you would want to see, tweet at the show, at CarlsonCast. Say you want to check it out.
And if you've got Carl Reiner's number, that'd be great, too.
Yes.
You can send us that as well.
Yes. Or if you know somebody who could get the ghost of Carl Reiner out of this place.
Yeah, right.
Like, get us an exorcist. He's 92, but he can let his spirit leave his body. It's weird.
He's 97.
Oh, he's 97.
97.
Mm.
Pushing 100.
Still looks better than Brian Ball.
They don't make him 100%. Like they used to.
That has been our show. Make sure you come see Dusty Slay this weekend. We're excited to see him. Tonight, 2 shows, 7 o'clock and 9 o'clock. Tomorrow night, 2 shows, 7 o'clock, 9 o'clock. And we will see you next week, ladies and gentlemen, hopefully with Preacher Lawson. Take it easy, Marks.